Welcome to today's edition of The Author's Corner, brought to you by KNEO 91.7 FM, The Word. I'm Roberta Foster. And today I have the pleasure of talking with Kenza Haddock on Author's Corner, and she has written the book, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity, which is published by Rose Publishing, and she will tell you more about how to find the book at the end of the program. Let me tell you just a little bit about Kenza, and we'll get more of her story in just a moment, but she was born in Casablanca, Morocco. She moved to the United States with her family at age 12, and as a young adult, Kenza was called by God when she had a dream about Jesus. She renounced Islam and became an ambassador for Christ. Kenza is now a licensed professional counselor and a board-certified pastoral counselor. She speaks at churches and conferences, telling her story of how God saved her from persecution during and after her conversion to faith in Christ. Kenza, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I kind of gave a little bit of your story away in the introduction, but knowing that you grew up in a Muslim family, why don't you tell us about this event that happened in your life that led you to move toward Christianity?
Absolutely. So Islam is based on the understanding that the crucifix, the death and resurrection of Jesus didn't happen. That's the basis of Islam. And so it's based on works. And so my whole life, I would say up until the age of 23, I was under the understanding that I have to work in order to earn salvation. And being that my personality is very much an overachiever, so it took me into, I mean, really like type yeah. A, I went down a rabbit trail of unhealthy striving. I mean, Islam calls for praying 5 times a day. I would pray 7 times just in case I messed up 2 times, just to get it, like, mm-hmm. like more so perfectionism. And living that way, I became very anxious and depressed mm-hmm. to the point where I felt was in a dark place. And for months, I was convinced that, I mean, the God of Islam is referred to as Allah. I was convinced that God hated me, mm-hmm. and I was depressed. I contemplated ending my life, and I cried out to God one night. I said, God, I know you hate me, because that was my understanding. Mm-hmm. Show me how I can find my way to you. Show me the mm-hmm. way to you. And I cried myself to sleep that night, and that night I had a dream that forever changed my life. Mm-hmm. I had a dream that it was the end times. And I looked out the window in my dream, and I saw heaven open, and a man in a white robe was descending from heaven. And mm-hmm. I knew in my spirit that that was Jesus, and that Jesus is the Lord. And mm-hmm. he was approaching me, and I woke up. Mm-hmm. And so it took me about a year after I had that dream to give my life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I wish I could tell you I woke up and gave my life to Jesus and it was great. But no, it took about a year.
Well, when you have a upbringing that instills fear into your heart, it's not the easiest thing to just deny it. I grew up in rural Alaska where the Russian Orthodox Church is prevalent, and that's part of their thing. If you leave the church, you're going to be headed for hell. And so people don't yeah. even investigate the truth without being willing to, you know, potentially, as with the Muslim faith, be ostracized from family and those type of things. So fear tactics is definitely a tool of the devil. And in fact, you write in your book that you say Islam is one of the devil's tools to keep people in bondage. And so maybe you can amplify my statement and how that relates to yours.
Yes, absolutely. Because, I mean, Muhammad's false teachings that Jesus was no more than a prophet mm-hmm. started a religion that led millions of people to hell. I mean, mm-hmm. and to your point, that is why it's so important to examine all spiritual claims through the lens of the Bible, which is the standard of truth. And so what I find so disturbing about Islam now that my eyes have been open is it walks very close to the truth. You know, it pulls some truths from the Bible is what I mean, but it distorts everything else, including some of the most important issues, and that is the death and crucifixion and God's love and God's mercy. Yes, God is holy. He's also merciful. And so it distorts the most important components. And so, yeah, it keeps people stuck in bondage and in fear and in works. And absolutely, it changed my whole perspective on life.
Well, let's talk about the title of your book just a minute, and we'll get back to some of the other differences between Islam and Christianity. But you have this written as the ex-Muslim's guide to Christianity. So do I understand it correctly then that through your book you were trying to address the various differences between Islam and Christianity so that a person seeking and searching will have kind of a direct comparison, or what, how would you explain the word guide?
Absolutely, yes, you're on point. It is for two people: the ex-Muslim who is left Islam and is trying to understand Christianity, and just to save the ex-Muslim the heartache I went through. There are so many things that someone who left Islam has to unlearn, and it's a it is a complete renewal of the mind, because I spent years tiptoeing around the throne of grace rather than approaching the throne of grace like it tells us to in the Bible. I was so afraid that God was going to throw the towel on me. I mean, I would say that was the biggest hurdle I had to overcome, was my understanding of God's true nature. Now, on the other aspect, I do believe that believers across the nation, across the world, could benefit from this guide, because there are many misconceptions about Islam, and one of them is that I came across was when I faced persecution, there were well-intended believers that asked, why would your family want to kill you? That makes no sense. Now, the ones who understood, I found that very comforting, because I found it very validating, and they helped through all of that. But when someone doesn't get it, it can come off as hurtful, because they're told to come after you. They're told to hurt you because that's what they believe.
Well, we're going to find out more about the differences between Islam and Christianity and how Kenza is now serving Christ. But let me remind you that we are talking about her book, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. It's published by Rose Publishing, and you are listening to Author's Corner, and I'm Roberta Foster. So, you were talking about the differences between Islam and Christianity, and so we got the works issue. What would you say is perhaps another major difference?
The fact that Jesus is the Lord. Islam is based on the belief that that's not true. In fact, one of the pillars of Islam is denying the deity of Christ. And I remember when I was little growing up, I denied the deity of Christ every night before I went to bed. That's one of the pillars of Islam. And so that's, you know, Jesus gives us freedom, and it goes back to the works issue. And I would say the Quran versus the Bible, you know, whereas the Bible is the living word of God. I remember the first time I opened the Bible, and it was in the book of Acts, and I felt God's word. It's alive, whereas the Quran was very oppressive. It's a series of works, and as soon as you feel like you're close to meeting the bar gets raised higher and higher. That's another difference. And even the church, I remember the first time walking into a church, I didn't know what I need. I thought I needed to wear black. I had no idea. The only church experience I had outside of becoming a believer was watching Home Alone. And that was because I didn't know what to expect. And so I called a friend and I was like, well, do I need to wear black? And she said, come as you are. And that was one of the most freeing statements.
Great. Well, you mentioned the word unlearn. Other than what you've already mentioned, perhaps there's one other thing you can tell us that you really had to unlearn in order to have that freedom in Christ.
Yes, the religion, it's that religious mind. I found it very freeing that I could talk to God anytime, anywhere. As a Muslim, you have to go through these washing rituals in order to even perform prayer. It's a performance versus just walking with the Lord. And I think we take it for granted sometimes as believers that, you know, we have, through Jesus, I mean, he tore the veil, and that's what we just celebrated with Easter. You know, we can talk to God about anything and everything, and he wants that relationship with us. And that was one of the biggest hurdles that I had to overcome. It's understanding just the pursuit of God and his mercy and grace. And especially when I would sin, I remember, I mean, it took forever for 1 John 1:9, you know, if you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive. And obviously, you know, we do it with the heart that we are truly repenting. But it took me, I remember I would ask God for forgiveness for the same sin maybe 20 times just to make sure he forgave me. That was like the first couple of years. I was so scared.
Yeah. Well, there again, you use that word. There's so much fear involved in false religions. And so I can see where coming out of one and into the freedom of Christianity is quite liberating.
Yeah.
We're told that Muslims or that Islam is such a peaceful religion. And yet you mentioned at the beginning in dealing with your family that when a Muslim leaves that faith and converts to Christianity especially, they are ostracized and some even attempted to be killed. How does that relate to what we're told is this being such a peaceful religion?
I think the misconception comes from the translation of Islam. I think someone somewhere may have translated the word Islam to peace. The word Islam in Arabic means submission. It does not mean peace. And it's, when you think about it, who are they submitted to? They're submitted to a God who is a spiritual pharaoh. I read the Quran front to back. I mean, that was part of my religious ritual, so I know exactly what it says. It says when someone converts from Islam to Christianity, their family are supposed to make kinder attempts to convert them back. And if they're not responsive to those attempts, then they have to take them out, and that is kill them. And I mean, it's very prescriptive and very graphic in the Quran. And I list some of that in the book because I think it's important for people to understand. And I mean, I quote the Quran as well, so they go back to the references. It's important for people to understand, yes, honor killings do happen in the United States because Muslims do believe that Sharia law supersedes our law. Just like we believe love supersedes, you know, hate, they believe the opposite.
Well, I'm sure there is so much for us to learn by reading The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity, written by Kenza Haddock. So, Kenza, tell our listeners how they can find out more about your book.
Yes, absolutely. They can even Google The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. I know it'll be available on Amazon. They can go on my website. It's www.kenzahaddock.com. So Rose Publishing is an imprint of Tyndale. They can go on Tyndale's website, and it's on there.
Great. So one more time, I've been talking with Kenza Haddock about her book, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity, which is published by Rose Publishing, and we certainly thank them for giving us a copy of the book to talk about. Kenza, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and thank you for providing this insight into the world of Islam faith and how to be set free from it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And to our listeners, we sure appreciate you tuning in. If you missed any part of today's interview, or perhaps you'd just like to hear it again, it contains so much great information. You can find it now on your favorite podcast platform or through KNEO.org. This is Roberta Foster on the Author's Corner. Join me again next time.